Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shei Osoyimbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Can you open your Bibles, if you came with one, to Psalm 1? That psalm we all know. I think we should be able to recite it without even looking at the Bible. Father, I ask that your life will come through this message this morning. Of myself, I can do nothing, but such as I hear, I will say, and such as I see, I will do. I ask for you to inspire and to anoint my tongue in the name of Jesus. I pray that the ears of the hearers will receive instruction and their hearts will live in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, blessed is the man that does what? That does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Next verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Next verse. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Next verse. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to contrast this two kinds of people. The godly and the ungodly. Amen. At the stage we are in our lives, we are still very vulnerable to counsels. We are still very vulnerable to influences. We are still very vulnerable to peer pressure. We are still so vulnerable, like we heard this morning, that many of us refuse to take initiatives because we are afraid of what people will say. We refuse to do what is good because the people around us don't seem to buy into what we believe in. And so you have a scenario where we affirm certain truths, but we don't practice it. We agree that what should be is ideal, but in reality, it cannot be practiced. And this is a problem of every successive generation. It is not your problem alone. It has been the problem of the past. That's why God had to pen this down through the psalmist. He said, blessed is the man that does not walk. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, let me go, because I need to use some stories to highlight these things. There was a man called Jehoshaphat that we read of his story just now in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. The Bible told us that he was a godly king. He was a God-fearing person, the son of David, the king of Judah. But for one reason or the other, he had an affinity with the king of Israel, Ahab. That is a very strange relationship. And we find many of us having strange relationships. I'm very sure when he decided to open diplomatic channels with Ahab, people would have raised questions. Sir, why are you doing this? He would have said, it doesn't matter. Are we not all brethren? But it is true, we are all brethren, but we are not all brethren. Do you understand that? The Bible says, blessed is the man that does not do what? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Whoever it was that gave him that counsel to have a relationship with Ahab was an ungodly counsel. Are you with me? God's word is quite clear about the kind of relationships we can keep. Now, I'm not saying that you stop talking to people around you. No. There is a way you can enter a relationship and you are not close. Your heart is not there. It's, hi, how are you? Is that fine? Are you okay? But you know your heart is not there. But there is a kind of relationship where your heart is. Amen. Somebody that can speak into your life and it can alter the way your life will end. And so if you are not careful, the kind of relationships you get yourself into, then you may end up being unblessed. The blessing is only for those who will not walk in ungodly counsel. So what is ungodly in the counsel? Now, you see, a Christian can go to church and still be ungodly. What does it mean to be ungodly? It means a person who does not respect the instructions and the position of God over a matter. That is ungodly. It's, for example, I come to church and I give certain instructions and somebody comes and he gives a counter instruction. He has raised himself against constituted authority. Do you understand? He is not, he's not godly with respect to pastor. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Pastor say, when you come to church, you sit down. You come to church, say, no, I'm not sit down. I will climb the roof. Do you understand now? You have gone against my instruction. So from the perspective of God, you are not godly. Because you have raised another standard. You have given a counsel that is contrary to what God has given as an instruction. So Bible says when you begin to listen to such people who give contrary instructions, then you can't be blessed. God will withhold blessings from you. You won't be surprised, many people in this country and all over the world that do a lot of prayer and they are basically walking in disobedience, a flagrant disobedience to that scripture. There are certain things you don't need to pray about before God blesses you. Mere listening and obeying instructions opens God to bless you. God said, if you bring your tithe, says, I will open the windows of heaven. He didn't even say you need to pray. Once you bring it, heaven must open. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. Instructions being obeyed creates a corresponding response from heaven. So said, the man that will refuse ungodly counsel is a man God says he will bless. He said the man does not walk in the way of sinners. There is a way sinners walk. You know, Jesus spoke about ways. He said there are two kinds of ways in life. You don't have three, you don't have four. People tell you that there are many ways to God. That's not true. God is not a marketplace. Are you with me? It's only in Mimiko's market you have only one gate. The real traditional market, you can enter it from any direction. I don't know whether I'm talking. I'm a bit Ogbese. There's no gate in Ogbese market. But Mimiko's market has gate. Let Mimiko alone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Heaven and hell, they have only one gate. But there are only two paths in life. He said the path that leads to the gate of hell is broad. Is wide, is smooth. So there are many that go on it. The one that leads to heaven is narrow, is straight, and very few find it. Now, among the few that find it, only few of the few walk on it. Because when people see the road and say how straight is it, they cannot accommodate certain lifestyles. They abandon it and go to the other place where it can accommodate all kinds of lifestyles. Am I talking to you? So he that does not walk in the ways of sinners. Be careful. What do you talk about? What's the meaning of ways? Ways means the philosophies of this life. The ways of this world. Are you with me? The philosophies that drive cultures. The philosophies that drive a group of people. For example, you heard it said that when you are in Rome, you behave like a Roman. That's a sinner's mentality. that you adapt to your circumstances. No. If you are a Jew, you must remain a Jew. Whether you are in Rome or you are in Mecca. Are you with me? Anywhere you find yourself, that is what you are. You are not changing. You are not a chameleon. So there are philosophies that drive people's lives. And so you need to begin to evaluate and check what drives you as a person. What are those theories that drive you? For example, you want to marry, and your parents will now tell you, they will now remind you of one ancient rite. That is, in our village, originally, before we can marry, we must shave the head of the woman. That happens with burials. And you as a Christian, you put your head down and they will shave it. And then when later to life, you begin to have problems, you begin to ask yourself, God, deliver me. How will he deliver you when you have walked in the way of sinners? When we married, and my wife got home, they put a big bowl of water at the gate and said she must step in it because that is their tradition. I said, don't try that with me again. Carry your water out of the way. I cleared everything. Do you understand? It looks very harmless, isn't it? It's not just put your leg in that water and come out. When tomorrow they connect you in the spirit realm and the people chase you, don't come and ask me for prayer. People enter problems like that because they follow the ways of sinners. God, we told God's hands from blessing you. So the hands of the Lord shut thing that cannot save. He says, yes, deaf that cannot hear. Say, but your sin has separated him. The word sin there means you have walked in the ways that you shouldn't have walked. And those who do not sit in the seat of scoffers. You know what scoffers? Those that make fun. Peter spoke about them. He said, scoffers will come in the last days. And they said, where is the promise of his coming? Say, since the world began, we have been shouting, Jesus will come, will come. He has not come. And yet you are still going to church. Have you had people say that, Odigba is more weary? People will tell you that you have gone to God. It is because you have problems. Listen to me. If problems drove you to God, bless God for the problem. The important thing that you came to God, Abby. And the people who don't have problems, you need to pray. Some people need problems to come to God. It's a good prayer. If that's what will save them, so be it. The important thing is better they cut your leg off. And you go to heaven lame. Then you have two legs carry you to hell. Abi? So if someone needs to be amputated, Lord, do it for him. Okay, you just say prayer. Hallelujah. They walk after their own loss. Next verse. I like this verse. Verse 4. And say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in water. Verse 6. For this they whereby the word that then was being overflowed with water perished. 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. When men begin to scoff at your faith, when men begin to scoff at your holiness, when they say, I'm in a deeper life. Pastor, my holiness is not, I can't be holy. That your holiness, no. God doesn't mean at all. I was listening to Paul Jackson, America now. They say that holiness is legalism. That's what they say in America. He now said that he didn't know where they found their home from. But what he read in the Bible, holiness is still in the Bible. Do you notice in your Bible, even the NIV, there's still holiness there. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Who are we deceiving? Scoffers have come, and they say it's legalism. Scoffers say that we are not under the law, but under grace. If you know what grace has done, let me explain what grace did for us. Can I tell you? Grace say that, the law said an eye for an eye. Grace said no, it's not an eye for an eye. Hallelujah. The law says you can, how did you put it though? I'll just explain that. I'll just show you some things about the law. It says if you are angry without a cause, grace says you will go to hell. You don't understand? They say we are not under law, we are under grace. The same grace says if you are angry without a cause, say you will, you are in danger of a fire. That's grace. So which one is difficult? The Old Testament or this one? Am I talking to you? It was the same grace that said, mere thinking it in your heart, you have already committed sin. Before they must catch you red-handed. So which one is more difficult? Is it the Old Testament or the law of grace? Do you understand me? He said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. You know, now he said, look, he said you should have tightened, cumin and guinea. So that is okay, but there is something heavier. So the law places the grace places a much more demanding requirement on you than what the law put on us. Do you understand me? So you need to understand that you cannot come under the influence of scoffers. When you see a man begin to make fun of things which are dangerous, it's time to pull back. You must pull back. A man who toys with holy things, a man who does not show regard, is just pull back. That was a problem of Jehoshaphat. A man, Ahab, was a man who did not show respect for God. There was an express instruction. Don't marry outside of Israel. You know where he went to marry? He went to marry from the land of Zidon. He married a princess of Zidon, an high priestess of the occult operation of Baal. She was a priestess of Baal. And this was a girl who had been did in occult. She herself was occult. That was a testimony of somebody I was listening to. He said she was born in the occult. She was raised in the occult. She herself had become a walking occult. Have you got a place where somebody can say she can possess somebody? She does the same spirit. We possess. Those are occult operations. Nobody could conduct a deliverance. It was the Holy Ghost that conducted deliverance for her. Because the person who's coming to deliver will end up becoming swallowed up. Those guys were deep in occult. You now carry and marry and put her inside your house. You have killed yourself. Your life, you have gone. He did that in flagrant disobedience to the word of God. And now you want to go and join yourself to him as a friend. It was a faith accomplished. So the Bible says one day, he went visiting. Can you see? He started walking. Then he went to sit. The Bible says they sat in a void place. May you not sit in a void place. The Bible says when they sat down in their royal apparel, the place where they sat was a void place. God never made the earth to be void. Never made your life to be void. But because of a descent into a relationship, things began to go terrible for Jehoshaphat. And so, what was the consequence? The Bible said, the man came up with a scheme, said, let us go to battle. The man did not come to fight, the man came to visit. But you see, that relationship was going to place more demand on him than he anticipated. Sin will always place more demand on you than you anticipated. Hallelujah. There are people you should not befriend. You should just cut yourself off from them. Once you begin to see that their life is done. See, at that point, the man could have said, my fellow dear king, there's an urgent call. If they had GSM, then they would have saved him. They just sent a text to one of his boys in Jerusalem, says, quickly send me a call. There's a crisis, I have to go back, sir. Let me quickly run. The Bible says, look, when trouble is grievous. It says, when you have made a pledge and you say you are in trouble, say, quickly go and rescue your soul and say you are sorry and deliver yourself from the trap. He saw a trap and was walking right into it. The king told him, say, let us go to war. But you see, it was like that godly thing inside of him. So, is there no prophet that we can inquire? Is there no prophet we can find out from? A prophet. And he summoned his prophets. The Bible called it his prophets. Be careful of who you collect counsel from. I've always said so. Be careful. His own prophets. And what happened? While they were coming, they were already telling what the Lord did not say. Said the Lord said you will go to that battle, you will win. You know, you can give counsel according to the circumstantial packaging. I know you want to travel to America. I know you want to go. Is it true you are going to America? Don't go yet. And I said, Kabash, I already know the way your heart is organizing itself. The Lord says you will go to America. My dear, you're not going to America. Listen to me, there's nothing in America. When I got there, I asked my sister, is this America? He said, Kojule, no, no. I said, I expected to see something that will make me say, I will die here, Lord. I didn't say anything like that. I love Nigeria. It's only in Nigeria you will jump. We don't even have traffic light. We don't follow speed limit. We do whatever we please. If police stop you, you can yari and pick phone and say, you don't know who I am. Wait for me, I'll call. You call somebody. People say, because you're a big man. Yeah, go. It is Nigeria. I love my country. Full of adventure. You can't dare that with a Igbo man. Right there, they will deport you. The next plane, they're going back. All the money you've spent in getting visa, in getting everything, then they will even tell your country to pay them for deporting you. It's double tragedy. I love Nigeria. But because I know you love to go, I understand your lust, I will prophesy according to your lust. Then he says, a man of God. That was the problem there. It's a lying spirit. They now say, look, is there no prophet? Jehoshaphat knew that this is not right. But that still did not stop him from still staying there and asking, is there no other person? He said, there's one useless guy, Micah, the son of Imla. He never speaks good about me. Never speaks good about me. May we ever never get to a place where they cannot correct you. Ahab had become invincible. Ahab had dealt with all the political enemies you could think about. And he had become all in all. And nobody could call him to order. Said, but there is this one notorious, irresponsible guy. He never sees anything good in me. The king said, speak on, let us invite him. And the king invited him. And they told him, said, you know the story. But later on, they said, that's the interesting part. When he said, oh, you go and prosper. You are going to win the war. Look at the liar, Ahab. He had just complained though, that the guy never speaks anything good. He now said before Jehoshaphat, it's called Ojuaye. Did I not tell you to always tell me the truth? As if he wanted to hear the truth. Is that not sufficient cue to Jehoshaphat that it's time for him to run? You do understand me? You were there when the man was saying, he speaks no good about me. He's always speaking evil. Now, the man came now, and he was saying, you shall prosper. You will go to war. He said, have I not told you? Always tell me the truth. I'm not afraid of the truth. You should have been cautious. The red flag should have been raised. But Joseph didn't see it. I was speaking about signs. Those were the signs. He was not seeing it. And the man said, I saw the Lord. And the Lord was asking, who will go and bring Ahab to battle that he may fall? And and this is how the court of heaven operates. Hallelujah. The councils, the Asians have taken a decision that Ahab must fall in battle. But how they will play it out? Is that who, what? I was throwing it to the spirits. And all kinds of spirits were coming. All kinds of suggestions were coming. I was just looking at them. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what he wanted to do. Until one got the clue. And said, I will go. Said, how will you do it? Said, I will become a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. God said, yes, that's the only way. Because that is his weakness. Prophets. Many of you that like listen to prophets, I want to marry. Let me go and meet my father. Your father now comes and say, I'm going to marry. Bring three names. You bring three brothers. Bring three brothers. You don't say, you know what you are doing? It's called Ifa. You threw it. Keep about. Second K, second Q, second. They will mess your life up. Those are occult operations. You don't do things like that and expect yourself to be blessed of heaven. Somebody wanted to marry and the father, parents took, I've had it many times. I don't think I need to flop that. Just let's leave it at that. You can start consulting mediums and witches and wizards. How will you be prosper? When things begin to happen to you in the night, you will not know where it came from. And parents do it, you know, out of love, they say, but they are undoing their children. God will deliver us in Jesus' name. He said, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against you. Of course, you know what happened. He said they should put him in the jail and feed him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until he returns in peace. And Ahab did not return in peace. But again, Jehoshaphat had one more chance. He said, wear my robes. When kings go to battle, they wear their robes into battle. Say, you wear my robes, I will dress like an ordinary soldier. Shouldn't you know that your life is already in danger? Can you see? And then they went out back to, meanwhile, God had arranged that the king of Syria just had a flash of respiration. Because it's not normal for you to go to battle and face a king. He said, don't battle with anybody except the king of Israel. That's all you should concentrate your battle on. Even if we are losing all our soldiers, just face the king of Israel. Have him killed. It's a strange battle strategy. I believe it was God that put it in his heart. And so when the battle started, immediately battle started, in the morning they started the engagement, those guys just faced him. And Joseph had cried out, I'm not the king of Israel, oh, ekpami, oh. The Bible says, God heard his cry and had mercy. God had mercy. Many of us make decisions and it is mercy that delivers us. But how long will you keep on depending upon those interventions? The Bible says, when they saw, see, they could easily have said he is lying and pressed the attack. And the man would have lost his life. For what? For being foolish. May you not die the death of the foolish. May you not die somebody else's death. People have died like that. This is a real life story. I think I've shared before in church. A young girl was invited to a party and her friends drove. She was in America. They were going for a night party. Their car was jam-packed. And the mother said to her as she was going, the mother didn't want her to go for that night party. He said, may the Lord go with you. I know what the daughter said. He said, the car is too jam-packed for the Lord to sit with us. If he can sit in the boot of the car, no problem. 30 minutes after she departed, they gave the mother a call and said the daughter had been involved in a ghastly motor accident. Everybody in the car perished. But you know the funny thing? The eggs in the boot, not one cracked. Because that was where God went to sit. If you know what it is to have an impact, head-on collision, and everybody in the car, the front and the back died, you will not see anything in the boot. Because I've seen it, I've witnessed it here. A friend had an accident at the Leisure Garage. The water he put in the boot. Now just more impact. Oh, no, the car was not the write-off. Oh, just hit the guy on the side. Bah, and the car just stopped suddenly. And the water in the keg burst. The thing just tore. The water keg. Everything. All the 50 liter jerry can just burst out. Then I'm talking about eggs. So what am I saying? Mercy has delivered people. He delivered Jehoshaphat. Said the ungodly are not so. There is no plan. God has no good plan for the ungodly. He said they are not so. Can we finish on that? Can we go back there? See, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff with the wind. We do what? We drive away. Next verse. Therefore, says the ungodly will not stand what? In the judgment. You know what it is in judgment? When the courts of heaven sit and God must pass a judgment, the ungodly will not get a good answer. No matter how they cry, God will not hear. You know what happened to Ahab? God had prophesied about the death of Ahab, but he delayed the judgment. But that judgment was still hanging on his head. And the man did nothing to have that judgment reversed and removed. And the man was living on that judgment. And for years he lived. But when God was going to execute his judgment, there was no one to plead for his case. They shot him. They said a man shot the arrow randomly. Randomly. I want to believe it was an angel that tapped the guy on his shoulder and said, take this aim. And they steadied his hand and he released the arrow. And the man was between the harness. The arrow sank into his chest. From morning till evening, Ahab was still fighting. I want to give it to him that Ahab may have been a bad man, but was not a sloppy warrior. But that does not save in judgment. He bled to death. But by the evening, he died. I know what happened. The prophecy of Elijah came to pass. They said when they were washing his chariots, dogs came to lick his blood. That was dishonorable. He was not supposed to die like that. He was a king. The oil had been poured on his head. He died like Saul. Because he has set himself to be ungodly. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the wind. They will blow them away like chaff. You won't remember them. But let us be careful as we go. We are young people. We are still growing. And influences are still coming. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful who you work with. Be careful who is giving you counsel. Be careful who you are listening to. Be very careful. Prayerfully consider whatever it is and wait. Hallelujah. Look for those who are godly, those who fear God, and ask counsel from them. A time will not suffice to speak about the son of Solomon, who in these days, is it Rehoboam? Rehoboam sought counsel from the counselor that counseled his father. And he told him, this thing you want to do, don't do it. This is how you should do it. The Bible now says he left them and went to take counsel from his friends who didn't know God. And right there, the kingdom splitted in his hands. May the work of God in your life not be aborted in the name of Jesus. Can we bow our heads and let us pray?
It's grace, your grace.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers, but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you. It's your grace.